Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi folks, and welcome to episode 48 of the From Pain to Power podcast. I'm excited to be here today, and I wanted to give you a little update because I know that my last episode I was talking about moving, etc., and my back being sore, and I actually re-listened to that episode today before publishing it, and I had a bit of a crazy weekend. I ended up actually getting quite extreme back pain over the weekend as a result of moving in the wrong way and being in a little bit of a vulnerable place prior to that. And it just completely knocked me out completely. I had to cancel work. And I have worked through pain, as I'm sure you know, and I'm sure all of you have done as well in the past, but this was just not tolerable. And ended up having to get a doctor. So that's now a few days gone. Today is Monday and that was on Saturday, and I'm feeling much better and well looked after. So I'm glad to be back. And yeah, I'm just going to try and take it easy today as I ease into this kind of new way of living in this new home, and just really prioritize physical care as well as I do that. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about this topic. So the topic I've decided to go with today is called the nervous system and polyvagal theory. And I know that I have chatted in recent previous episodes about trauma and the nervous system, and I'll make sure to link those episodes in the show notes as well. But yeah, just wanted to introduce you to this very important theory called the polyvagal theory, which is a theory that comes from neuroscience that, yeah, it was coined and discovered and researched by a researcher called Dr. Stephen Porges. And even though he's an academic in the field of neuroscience, a lot of the teachers I've studied under, such as Deb Dana and Dr. Peter Levine, they all use this theory in their work. And I've taken many courses in learning about it and weaving it now into my work. I have been working with this theory now for several years, actually, and it has been and continues to be a really important part of my professional work and then also my personal life. And yeah, so let's get into it. So the reason why the nervous system and this theory is so important in this line of work is because a lot of the work that has been done and written about and researched, and a lot of the coaching, is based on lifestyle and wellness and hormonal health, which is all really, really important, as well as mindset work and things like diet and exercise and movement for, you know, endometriosis, PMDD, just hormonal health. But not as much work has been done on the nervous system. And the reason why that's so important is because there is an overlap between, as all systems in the body with each other, there is a relationship between the nervous system and our hormonal system, which is called the endocrine system. So for example, if we are spending a lot of time in a particular place in our nervous system, and I know a lot of you have heard of the fight-flight response, if we spend a lot of time in the fight-flight response, we then end up having a lot of stress hormones in our body. Cortisol and adrenaline, which are there for good reasons. If we have them there for very long periods of time, it does create a biochemistry of inflammation and a biochemistry that can then give rise to more pain signals in the body. And a lot of the work we're doing here in this space is looking at how we can reduce inflammation, looking at how we can reduce stress, and looking at how we can manage and reduce symptoms of chronic pain that are coming from things like endometriosis or PMDD, or even people who don't have cycles and are just interested in the work I do. And so it's really, really important that we consider all of the ways and the lenses which apply this kind of, you know, the biochemical, we are biochemistry at the end of the day, but it is coming from various different reasons and places. And so it's really helpful to have these different lenses. So it's important that we do look at what's happening in the nervous system, educate ourselves on the nervous system, and then empower ourselves with how we can feel better in our bodies with this nervous system lens. And so one example would be, you could read a lot of books about hormones and diet and then feel quite stressed about all the things that you have to do and try and change and tweak lots of things in your lifestyle and your diet, but then end up getting very stressed and then having a lot of stress hormones in your endocrine system as a result of that. And so this is where this polyvagal theory comes into play in this work, in my work. So I'm going to explain what it is and how we can work with it. And this will be helpful for you if you are navigating, wanting to feel better in your body generally, and also for anyone listening who is either currently training with me or wanting to train with me next year, or you are learning from me for your professional work, because it all applies. So this polyvagal theory, as I said, was coined and researched by Dr. Stephen Porges. And essentially what it is, it's poly means many, and vagal is coming from this, the vagus nerve, which is this wandering nerve that, you know, goes from the base of the neck down all the way down to the digestive system, and is a huge nerve that is really important in the kind of nervous system responses that we have in our body every day. And we're always going to be in a different place in our nervous system. So to keep things simple, there are three places of the nervous system where you can be. You can also be in blended states, and we can talk about that again in the future. But for now, we'll keep it really simple and talk about these places in the nervous system. So the first one is at the very bottom. If you imagine a ladder, it's called the freeze response. And this is part of the parasympathetic nervous system, which is a very ancient part of the nervous system and comes from the times when we were, like, you know, part of this, these really ancient old sea creatures that all they did was look for survival. So it's a very, it's very much an ancient survival part of the nervous system. And the freeze response, we go into the freeze if we are faced with a lot of danger or some kind of threat, or if there is a perceived threat in our environment and we don't have the safety or the capacity to fight or flight. Okay. And so that's the response we go into. I think I've talked about this before in previous episodes. It's not a fun place, but it does happen often. It's a very normal response. It's a very common response. You even have like a little bit of freezy energy in your day for various different reasons. And that's something I would explore in more kind of detail in one-to-one work and in my professional training. But it's not to pathologize the, we are not here to pathologize or make the freeze response a bad thing. It's a very good thing. It's your body keeping you safe in the only way it knows how. Okay. So that's really important to remember. But the problem with it is if we spend a lot of time in the freeze response as a result of trauma from the past, then we have to kind of relearn safety in our body and allow our body to unravel a little bit, allow our nervous system to stop having to work so hard and come out of the freeze response. Because the freeze response, it's as though all of the body's energy is going to survival, and it kind of shuts the energy and the blood supply goes very low to the non-crucial systems and organs of the body. So for example, digestion or even the reproductive system, really what's prioritized is the circulatory system and breathing, and all other parts of the body are not really prioritized in terms of nutrients and in terms of energy. And so spending a lot of time there will have long-term consequences in terms of anything that's related to digestion or chronic pain, or like chronic fatigue can be one reason why, sorry, trauma can be one reason why chronic fatigue is, you know, exists. That can be a symptom of unresolved, unhealed trauma from the past. And, you know, on an emotional level, that freeze response is linked to isolation and hopelessness and despair. And yeah, so that's the freeze response. And I think we can all relate to it. As I said before, even when anytime I speak about it, I literally like feel it in my body. So I don't like to spend too long there. But when we come out of the freeze response, when we do have access to what's called the fight or flight response. So if you go back to the ladder that I asked you to imagine, the freeze response is at the bottom of the ladder. And then in the middle of the ladder, a few steps above the freeze response, is what's called the fight flight response. And this is part of the sympathetic nervous system. And this is where we do have access to mobilizing energy. So movement. Okay. So movement to fight or movement to flight. So movement to get away or movement to push the thing away or say no or whatever the thing is. And this is that, like I said, mobilizing energy. It's not as ancient a part of the nervous system as the freeze response is, but it still is quite primal if you think about animals out in the wild, and they obviously have a very strong fight flight response. That's still very much in us, and we can kind of go back to our animal instincts in that way if we're under threat. And again, it's not a bad thing, but if we're completely flooded with this fight flight response constantly, or we're constantly feeling like the world is dangerous and we're fighting in different ways, whether that's interpersonally in relationships or just in yourself or the way you move through the day. Again, it's a lot of cortisol, a lot of adrenaline running through your body, and that's not necessarily very good for your long-term health. It's a lot of energy going to the perceived amount of threat that isn't necessarily there, especially if there is trauma in the past. Okay, so this is another reason why I bring this into all my work, because even myself, like if I approach my business in a fight flight response, if I approach marketing and sales and admin, or, you know, just all any kind of business activities that I have to do outside of my practice, if I'm in a fight flight response, again, it's not really sustainable for the long-term growth of my work. And I will say that the business world is very much fight flighty kind of energy. It's very much like figure things out now and find the solution and, you know, do it quickly and results, results, results and quarterly goals and all of that stuff. Like I find that very stressful and fight flighty and a little bit like firefighting a little bit, not really taking your time and moving slowly towards long-term goals, which is what I prefer to do. But that doesn't mean I don't experience it, but it's just something that's very real in the world. It's a dynamic that exists in our society, and it's, you know, hard to separate ourselves from. So that's the middle of part of the ladder in the polyvagal theory. And then the top part of the polyvagal theory, this is called the ventral vagal part of the nervous system. And this is the part of our nervous system in this polyvagal theory where we feel safe, we feel connected, we have access to hope, we have access to options and choices. And generally, you know, the two main words there are feeling safe and feeling connected. And very often that comes from something called co-regulation. So co-regulation is another and really important definition from this polyvagal theory. It's where we feel our nervous system is able to come back to a place of safety in the company of someone else. Now, the someone else could be nature, the someone else could be an animal, but usually as a human. And it's that place in your system where you feel all is well and safe again, and you have the ability to be with difficult feelings. So that's why things like talk therapy are so helpful. If you find a therapist who you like to work with, who you feel safe with, who you feel can contain your process, that will allow you to move into co-regulation in yourself and regulate your nervous system while you are talking through difficult things. And I know a lot of people in the trauma world actually critique talk therapy as not being enough, but I actually think it's fantastic. And if you have the ability to really be curious about your body while you're in talk therapy, that can be a really powerful thing to do. Whether your therapist knows about that or not, that's another thing we can have a conversation about. Your body is always in the room, right? So it's never just about cognition, it's always your body as well, and bringing awareness to it can be really helpful. So another really important definition of the polyvagal theory is something called neuroception. And this was, again, another word coined by Stephen Porges, which is, in simple English, it's where your body, your nervous system is, whether you're conscious of it or not, and it usually happens on an unconscious level, it's scanning your environment for cues of safety or danger. Okay, cues of safety and or danger. So really simple example, if you were to go to a coffee shop with a friend for the first time, where you go on a date, or let's just say a friend, someone you know, and you go to a coffee shop and you've never been to that coffee shop before, and you meet your friend and you sit down, you might look around for the first 5 minutes. You might notice yourself scanning the room for maybe 5-10 minutes before you can really be present with your friend. And you will probably be chatting and talking to your friend and deciding what you want to order from the menu. but also you might also be scanning your environment kind of unconsciously, and there might be judgment there. You might feel like, oh my God, why am I not able to make eye contact with this person like I normally am? But it's because your nervous system is engaged in this very important process called neuroception, which is where when we enter a new environment, we automatically, without choice, our body, our nervous system will scan the environment for cues of danger and safety. And that's just a very normal part of what it is to be any living being on this planet. So keep that in mind. And you might even take a pause while you're listening to this and think back on times where you experienced that. And think back on places where you notice yourself scanning your environment a lot more. I know that it's certainly the case for me if I'm in a new place, if I'm driving or in a new coffee shop or, you know, even in a new shop, I do like to have a look around. And it's kind of nice to allow yourself, now that I know that that's happening, it's nice to not judge myself and just to allow that to happen. And sometimes I might even say to my friend, and I might just kind of say, oh God, this is new. I'm like, you know, looking around and I might admire the space. I wouldn't go into a whole explanation of polyvagal theory, but I might just acknowledge it in some kind of informal way. Okay, so now that we have explained polyvagal theory and we've talked about the ladder and the three parts of the nervous system, and we've talked about co-regulation and we've talked about neuroception, let's have a chat about how you can come out of the freeze response or the fight flight response if you are flooded, what's called flooded. Because, and I use that word intentionally because the freeze response is really healthy and normal and helpful in a dangerous situation, and so is the fight flight response. But what's not helpful is if we get stuck there for long periods of time, or if it's linked to something from the past, which it often is. Okay, so if you're in the freeze response, for all of the responses, for both responses, the freeze and the fight flight response, the answer to that question is anything that helps you to regulate your nervous system. Okay, and very often that is some kind of movement. So movement can be dance, it can be going for a walk, it could be putting on a wash, it could be, you know, doing the washing up or cleaning or anything really. And that's like a solo activity. And if you want to like make that even better, is to have co-regulation in that experience. So movement with somebody, so for going for a walk with somebody, or, you know, taking your dog for a walk, or being with your pet, or going for a walk in nature, or going for that coffee with a friend, or calling a friend. Connection is a really, really great resource that you can use to climb the ladder of the nervous system. And your friend and the person who's on the phone, they might not necessarily know that you're in the freeze response, but just kind of having that conversation, having a chat, having a cup of tea with someone who you like, that is, and with someone who you feel safe with, and with someone who you feel good with, can be, you know, that is medicine. That really is medicine. It's the medicine of connection. And so thinking about small little things that can help you climb that ladder, you know, even just like pressing a button on your Spotify or whatever app you use for music, that's all you have to do sometimes, just to shift a little bit your energy, and then the momentum starts to build. So what you're looking for, you're not necessarily looking to climb the ladder immediately. You're just looking for a little kickstart and then a little bit of momentum growing in your system. And that, you know, that might take a few days or it could take a week or two, but that's all you really want to start with. And so another really important word in this polyvagal theory is the word safety. So if you're thinking about wanting to expand your nervous system capacity, if you do find yourself in the fight flight response a lot of the time, or the freeze response a lot of the time, then something that you could think about is, how can I build my capacity for more safety in my life? That's a really good question to ask yourself. And it's not a question to answer, it's a question to be in relationship with, rather. And it's a question that can be a bit of a North Star guiding you in your days as you navigate self-care. Because if you're in fight-flight response a lot, you could be choosing self-care from a place of fear or anxiety or shoulds. Because if we're in the fight-flight response, we can often be in that inner critique or comparison or shoulding ourselves, as opposed to just being okay with what's going on. And so allowing yourself to be in relationship with this word safety can be a really, really helpful way to heal trauma. It can be a healthy way to grow your comfort zone and to build more capacity in your nervous system for more regulation. And what that means is that we can move back up to that ventral, the top of the ladder, more frequently, the rest and digest part of the nervous system. And if we do find ourselves in the freeze response or in the fight flight response, when we start to use that word safety to help guide us, we start to then recognize what are the things, the people and the places that really help us. Because the things that help me will be very different to the things that help my next door neighbor or you or my clients or my own colleagues. Some people really like meditation, but some people really don't like that when they're in the freeze response or in the fight flight response. And so it really is about, you know, really listening in to your somatic self, tuning in, noticing how you feel, like those really small little nuanced micro moments where you feel like after doing something small, you feel a little bit better, and just paying attention to that and noticing that, and then adding that to your own mental list, or you could have a real list of resources that support you in climbing your polyvagal ladder. And so to expand this concept of safety, you know, some of my clients actually, even though they come to me with fatigue or trauma or chronic pain, they're also navigating wanting to improve relationships. Maybe they're dating or they're married. But that word safety can also be something to think about in relationships, is how can you start to weave more safety in into your relationships? And how can you cultivate more relationships in your life where you feel safe, where you feel safer, where you feel safe to be yourself, where you feel safe to have confrontations, difficult conversations, where you feel like you can challenge and be challenged and ultimately just be safe and not feel under threat. And then the same thing goes for anyone listening to me who's also doing coaching work, or you're a facilitator, or you're growing a business, to really think about your own nervous system when you're approaching marketing, when you're approaching sales, when you're approaching your coaching. Like I, at the moment in my professional training, the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training, we're towards the end. We're actually towards the end of our time together, which is really exciting. But we're now really focused on like, how do we do coaching with this work, and how do I coach clients, and what are the tools and skills that I need in order to coach people with menstrual cycle awareness, etc. And one of the most important things, in my opinion, at least from my experience and what I've also been trained to teach, is that our own regulation and our own ability to be present in ourselves is more important than anything else. Like, you know, to just really show up in the room and be with the client and trust myself that I do know things and that I will have answers and that I can, you know, pull on tools and resources that I have. And also that it's okay to not know the answer, that it's safe to not know the answer. And that's actually sometimes a really good thing. So the more we can regulate ourselves, the more we can bring safety into our own experience. It comes to business as well. Like, people, your clients, your prospective clients, your audience will feel that when you prioritize that in your business. And that's a really, another really important thing to think about. And then lastly, I also want to talk about chronic pain. So if you yourself are navigating chronic pain, or you experience it for whatever reason, like myself, what happens, and I talked about this before, what happens in the nervous system when we have chronic pain is we very often do go into that fight, flight, threat response in the body, which is what I experienced last week with my back pain. What happens then is we can tighten up even more, because the body is trying to protect, you know, the nervous system is trying to protect you from more pain. And there can be a lot of fear. And so that tension can then cause more pain as opposed to releasing it. So we want to really speak safety to our bodies and speak safety to our nervous system. So I actually really like to work with mantras sometimes. So if I'm in pain, say if I have really bad period pain or any kind of pain, really, it can be a really nice thing just to take a pause, lie down, or if you're in a bathroom somewhere, maybe you're in the public toilet, because I have experienced that too, to take a minute, an extra minute, and maybe place your hand where the pain is, or you can place the hand on the forehead or on the back of the neck or on your heart or your womb, and just speak safety and say to yourself, like, speak to your body and say, I am safe, I am well, I'm being looked after. I am safe, I am well, and I'm being looked after. And even though you might not immediately believe it, I really do believe in the power of words. I believe in the power of touch. I believe in the power of mantras and affirmations. And they can be really, they might not necessarily cure the issue, but they can be really soothing in the moment when you're having, you know, a scary moment with pain or fear of pain, because that also can be in itself painful. And so that is all about bringing safety to the body, bringing regulation to that nervous system, and just supporting the fight flight response just to relax, even just a little bit more ease, a little bit more softening in the tissues of the body. And you might not necessarily like be right at the top of the ladder in the ventral vagal and the rest and digest, but you might have a little toe across the border into the ventral vagal. And the more we can just, you know, stretch our toe over into anchoring a little bit more into ventral, even if we are in the fight flight response, that can be really healing and really, really helpful. So that's what I want to share with you on the nervous system and the polyvagal theory. I hope you enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite things to work with. I work with it in all my one-to-one practice and with my professionals. And if you are interested in training with me, I will be teaching you how to integrate this more into your one-to-one practice, teaching you how to work from a trauma-informed lens. Also, we'll be talking about building a business, building a practice as well that is trauma-informed, and how you can apply this to yourself as well and to your clients in your client work. So that is in the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training. I have the waiting list open for this year, so you can head on over to the link in my bio and put your name on the waiting list. And I look forward to seeing you at the webinar over the summer. And that's it for me. I wish you a lovely rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.